He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And boom, boom, up goes the market on this Wednesday, April 22nd. This is Bill Gunderson. It is the Best Stocks Now show. I'm here with Barry Keiter, chartered financial analyst. We've got the Dow up 384 points right now to 49,533 as the ceasefire is extended for now. The port remains blockaded. The S&P 500 is up 48. That puts it at 7,111. That's a new all-time high. The NASDAQ is up 211. We're having an absolute very large day today, especially with GE Vernova, one of our biggest holdings. The NASDAQ's at 24,479. We've got, let's see, oil. There's your big one. Let's see how oil is doing today. Last I looked, it was in the high 90s, and oil right now is at Brent crude, $95.13. That's high. That's very high. We have gold is up 1.1% today. The bond market, the 10 years at 4.28, and Bitcoin. Bitcoin is at, let's see, it's up 3,197, clear back to 78,800. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and our chartered financial analyst Barry Keit. And Barry, that call that we made, are you saying April 6th?
Yeah, April 6th. Yeah,
16 days into the call we made, it, one of the most compelling buying opportunities of all time. You know, this is the we're 5 for 5 now with market calls, almost right deadly at the bottom, and we are up considerably. Look at our accounts and the money under management that we have, how it has just absolutely soared. During this period of time, it's good to be right. It's not good to be on the wrong side and listening to the pundits out there and the dart throwers and the flame throwers and all the other people trying to get clicks.
As you say, it's good,
articles.
Good to be on the sunny side of the street, as you say.
When it's sunny, yes, yeah. Uh-huh. And it comes back to the dang earnings. Earnings. That's what drives the ship. The markets got a little roughed up yesterday. The Dow was down 60 basis points. The NASDAQ was down. We were down just a little bit yesterday. And it was mostly because of, the talks going back and forth between Iran and the Trump administration. It sounds to me like they still don't know if they're dealing with the right people over
there. That's the part that gets me. It's
fluid. You know,
who are they dealing with? Do the faces come and change? If they do agree to something?
It sounds like a very, very fluid situation. And
well,
look, who is in control? The people, the old regime?
The Republican Guard, right?
We
the
don't
ones
know.
With guns?
The Army, the military. So you can't really deal. You might have somebody else in charge. So that seems to be the biggest issue right now. But they are getting their butts kicked, and they are in deep doo-doo, and they are blockaded, and they're getting their money shut off that's coming in, and something's got to give at some point in time. And the reason for Trump extending the ceasefire is deep divisions within Tehran's leadership. Deep divisions, okay? So there's a big problem. They're in chaos. The country of Iran is in total chaos. And, you don't know if the people you're dealing with will be the leaders tomorrow. And so that makes it all the more difficult right now. But there is a ceasefire. The ceasefire remains in place, and that's why the market is so happy. Iran says it has seized two ships in the Strait of Hormuz. Now, that's the Iran Revolutionary Guard saying that.
Okay. How do they seize two ships, by the way? I'm just curious.
I think we would be all over that.
And, yeah, I mean, it's kind of – one of them I think was real very close, you know, almost like it was a disabled ship close to the shore. I guess that one makes sense. But it's – you know, it's just trying to understand what's really going on over there, right? Like you said, whether it's who are we really dealing with. You know, what is really, I mean, it is a war zone, so it's hard to get good intel,
They claim the ships were allegedly operating without proper authorization, repeatedly violating regulations and manipulating navigation systems, thereby endangering maritime safety. Never mind the mines that they've planted in the Gulf. That has a tendency to endanger maritime safety. So that was the Revolutionary Guard's comments on that. The action comes after U.S. forces seized an Iranian ship. So it was kind of tit for tat, I guess, and boarded a tanker linked to Iran's oil trade. But then again, you had Trump last night. After the market closed, by the way, it was a dicey day in the market yesterday. And right at the close, maybe just a few seconds after the close, I saw that news that he was going to extend the ceasefire indefinitely.
Yeah, and you had the sell-off at the in the last hour because of the reports of J.D. Vance not taking off to go.
Yeah.
That was before the market opened. I mean, before the market closed. Yeah. So
you know what? I think they're just looking at the situation and saying, it's not ready. They're not ready to sit down and negotiate because the leadership is not in place. It's all in disarray and it's chaos. We're kind of just, you could make a deal with somebody and someone else could be in charge in a week or two. So I think that's probably why, and I think that's probably why he extended it to indefinite, to give them time, to work out their leadership and what they want to do. Okay, the stocks today are just exploding to the upside. The tech stocks are just exploding here to the upside. You've got GE Vernova right now up 14.6%. You've got USA Rare Earth, which we own in our emerging growth portfolio, up 12.3%. I actually added to that position yesterday. That was good timing. I did not expect this out of GE Vernova today. GE really did not have a very good report yesterday, and I'm reevaluating that current position, but we also own GE Vernova in two accounts, the Premier Growth and the Value portfolio. It is up 14.6, one-fourth of our gains today, which are large gains, seven-digit gains, big time today, 14.6% on GEV, one-fourth of those gains is coming from that one stock. You're also seeing good gains in the Korean ETF, EWY, ARM Holdings, very good stock.
I think it was on Monday, I'm not mistaken. I know it was recent.
Yep, Micron's having a good day. AAOI, which, by the way, we have a new article out there on Seeking Alpha. And it's one of the top performers in the market. That article came out, I think, yesterday afternoon or something like that.
Yeah, I think they snuck it in late. I'll pull it up and see when.
But we did send out an alert to everybody with the link to the article on Seeking Alpha. And we can also send, I have a PDF file. It wasn't the final version, but it's pretty dang close of the article. Also, the rare earth stocks, you've got CRML, which is the rare earth in Greenland. We haven't heard much about Greenland. So all we hear is the Strait of Hormuz. Yeah, what happened to Greenland? We've got the natural gas stocks up today, VG, and some of the AI infrastructure stocks are also really on fire today. Holy cow. And I did submit this morning another article. They're coming off the press here again, Barry. We've
busy.
Got the press rolling. That's why I was up at 1 a.m. this morning. Been up ever since doing stuff, including polishing off. We got a blockbuster article coming out tomorrow. Maybe today. Maybe later today. We'll have to see. And then we've got another one that I need to do the finishing touches on. In the meantime, do we have a spot for Minnesota? I was so busy yesterday.
We've got the dates. I don't know.
I haven't heard
of a spot yet, but we still got the
spot.
Those dates are still. I was looking at the calendar yesterday, trying to map out the map out some flights. But yeah, it'll be Tuesday the 19th, Wednesday the 20th, and Thursday the 21st.
I better look at the flights today. All right, now when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the strongest stocks in the market right now, coming from one sector. And as I said, we have an article out on one of the best stocks in the sector. It came out yesterday. You can go to Seeking Alpha. We'll talk about that in a moment. And we also own another stock in the sector that we're writing another article about. This is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we'll begin with this. Arista Networks stands out among optical networking stocks entering Q1 earnings. That comes from Needham. Arista is a large position here, and they're saying that it stands out among the optical and networking. Now, if I'm not mistaken, isn't Arista the copper one relates to the networking, and some of the others are fiber optics. That's what I think.
Yeah, obviously you've got Light
Lumentum,
LITE. That's using uses the fiber optic light.
Coherent is another one. Viavi, Ciena. But our article yesterday was on Applied Optoelectronics, AAOI. And let's see if they quoted our article here on that. Oh, I can't find it right now. I bet they did. But I just want to give you some highlights from the article that we wrote. I captained the ship, and I had some help, with the rote kind of stuff there, the facts. And we have to do a lot of research on this stuff. It takes time. It takes a lot of time. AAOI is transitioning from a volatile optical supplier to a vertically integrated AI optics leader, according to us. Their biggest customer is I think it's Microsoft or Amazon. I can't remember which one it is, but that's always been a problem in the past. Now they're much more diversified. Now, AAOI is a $10 billion company, which makes it's a small cap, but it's on the upper edge of small caps. It's $133. Let's see, we wrote it yesterday. Let's see what price they put in here. We get credit for the price of 144.10,
yeah,
I guess.
I didn't see him update it yet. Yeah, they'll usually...
I think it's down today. Is it down a little bit
today? It's down about 4% today.
Oh,
well,
what the hell?
I think what they'll do, it's always a little delayed. It's like they might use the closing price today. So.
All right, so now what I'm going to do next is go through our standard routine of examining a stock, and this comes from the article. And as you know, we begin with the track record of the stock. AAOI, over the last 10 years, it's been all over the map because we didn't have AI back then. And we do use a lot of fiber optics and telecom and whatnot, but it wasn't the stock that it is today. Nevertheless, if you take a look at where the stock was 10 years ago and where it is today, it's averaged about 24% per year, which is right in line with the S&P 500. That's not bad for a small cap, because small caps have underperformed the S&P 500 by a fairly large margin. But here's where it really begins. Over the last 5 years, the stock has averaged 74% per year. total return, while the market's 13.4. And over the last 3 years, 296%. That's tripling every year for 3 years. That's pretty unbelievable. Talk about alpha. And during that same period of time, the market's up just has been averaging 22%. It's been averaging 296. Now, that's looking in the rear view mirror. We always say that. And their earnings have been choppy, very choppy, because they rely on just a few clients.
Well, yeah, and they had, like you said, it was Microsoft that was, you know, kind of their largest customer. They folded some Amazon in there. Amazon actually has a performance based investment in the company. I think it's about 10-year. I think had it as a 10-year agreement for $4 billion tied to Amazon. So two big companies. At least if you have two big customers, those are the ones to have, right?
AAOI is headquartered in the fiber optics capital of the world, Sugarland, Texas. Isn't that weird, Sugarland, Texas? Well, isn't it? I think AT&T.
I mean,
is
it's becoming the data center.
Dallas.
Yeah, it's becoming the data center capital of the world in terms of, you know, from a state standpoint. So it makes sense that they'd be headquartered there. They're right in the mix.
All right, so looking backwards is one thing. Looking at the past performance is one thing. Looking ahead 5 years with the valuations may be something unique that we do in addition to looking at the past performance. Because it's all about the next 5 years at this point in time. Now, as I do a five-year valuation on this stock, I begin with some pretty hefty earnings growth, $4.64 next year. I'm using a pretty conservative growth rate of 15% per year. I extrapolate that 4.64 out for the next 5 years, slap a multiple on it, and I come up with 84% upside potential. 84% upside potential. So that's pretty good, you know, considering where it's been, the track record, the sector that it's in, the recent quarterly growth. Let's just look at their recent quarters here. That's always very telling for me, looking at those recent quarters that they've reported. And let's see here. Yeah, I mean, they've been like triple digit growth in earnings and in revenue. So that's about as good as it gets.
And as you say, stocks follow earnings. So
yes, and earnings expectations. So this year, their earnings are going to grow 462% versus last year. And next year, they're going to grow another 392%. So, you know, the analogy I would make here, these data centers, they need gobs of memory. They need gobs of hard disk and disk drive. They need gobs of fiber optics. It just takes a lot of this stuff. And that's why you question these AI companies as to whether or not they'll be profitable or not, because of the enormous of expense of building these data centers. And it's going to take a lot of subscribers at $30 a pop or whatever, subscribing to Grok or subscribing to Anthropic or subscribing to OpenAI, to ever cover the cost, the enormous cost of this build-out that's taking place. That's why I keep saying you want to be on the receiving end of this money, this spending spree. Almost, it's like a desperate land grab. We need all the flash memory we can get. We need it now. Well, okay, we'll get you as much as you can, but the price is going to be really high right now. Because it's a race. It's like the race to the moon. You've got a race to being the top AI. I think they'll all play a little part. It's not like search. I think they all might carve out a niche. But the amount of money, the enormous amount of money they're spending is just unbelievable. And I would say that, you know, you want to be, again, on the side of the company that's on the receiving end of the spending and not on the spending end of the spending. And for that reason, I'm not real hot on these IPOs that are coming up, massive IPOs amongst these AI companies. We'll be right back.
I've been in the right place, but must have been the wrong time. I done said the right thing, but I must have used the wrong line. I've been on the right trail, but I must have used the wrong call.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. So, yeah, obviously, I don't know that there's an ETF. There probably is. I mean, there's an ETF on everything. There may be an optics, a fiber optics ETF. I don't know of one offhand. But I can tell you that the major players in this fiber optics and networking. It's networking, really, is what you're doing. You're networking all these various machines together. Arista, ANET, you've got AAOI, Applied Electronics. You've got Fabrinet, FN, which is a good stock. You've got Lumentum, which is probably the hot one in the group. You've got Ciena, which basically has become very much a pertinent stock in today's world. It's been around. I remember Ciena way back when, during the times when Cisco was king. You've got Viavi Solutions, V-I-A-V, you've got Coherent. And those are kind of your major players right now in fiber optics. And, of course, like I say, it takes gobs. Let's just use the word gobs. It takes gobs of butter to make fettuccine Alfredo. It takes gobs of fiber optics to fill a data center, right?
Yeah.
I think I got some crabs in my crab trap. Maybe we'll be making a little crab fettuccine tonight. I got to go out there and check here after the show. Palantir signs a $300 million agreement with the USDA for farm services modernization. You know, I it is the best software stock out there. Why? Look at all the industries that it's in. It's in the Iran war. It's in space. It's in the networking. It's in the data centers. Palantir is a monster stock. It's more of a monster stock, in my opinion, than Microsoft, because Microsoft's still doing kind of the mundane stuff other than ChatGPT. You've got Palantir is up 3.7% today, and they're going to make farms more efficient with their software. Who's the guy that's the head of Palantir? He's kind of becoming a little Jensen Wang or a little
Steve
Jobs.
He's an interesting guy too. I mean,
yes.
he's a bit eccentric. There's times where that company is on the forefront of whether it's AI domestically through corporate world, or if it's AI on the government side. You know, they've done a good job, as you mentioned, with the article you wrote. You know, when Palantir started out, one of their primary customers was the government, and they have continually divested out of that to where now they're, you know, it's only about 50%, I believe, of their entire business. So they've branched out to where they've got a good customer in the government, but they've also got plenty of corporate clients as well.
Yes, they do. They have a lot of corporate clients. All right, let's see what else we got here. And that's kind of the rundown there on the fiber optics. And SK Hynix plans to invest nearly $13 billion in a new South Korean. By the time they get it built, the big need for memory will probably be dwindling, right? That's usually the way it works. SK Hynix plans to invest nearly $13 billion in a new South Korean facility aimed at AI memory demand. And we own that stock through the ETF, EWY. And again, there's only four memory makers out there. There's Samsung, there's Micron, there's SK Hynix, and there's SanDisk. Those are the four. Axe Compute skyrockets 166% over a $260 million contract. That's a sweet one. What will that guy's quarterly bonus look like for NVIDIA B300 GPU? So let's look up this stock. I don't know this stock. I don't think it's in the database. I think it was an unknown, a complete unknown until today. AGPU is the symbol. And right now it is up 104%. Yes, I mean, this is a market cap. Yesterday it closed at $13 million market cap. $13 million. I mean, we've got homes in this area that are worth more than that.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, we've got true. Liquor stores downtown that are worth more than that. $13 million. But they must have something. Let's see what they've got. They've got connection. Oh, they're in Pittsburgh. How about that? That's another city we need to visit. They're a development stage company manufacturing environmentally conscientious system for the collection and disposal of infectious fluids. Well, I got a hunch they've got a brand new, market, different game plan that they're going after. And you've got our friend at NVIDIA signing a 206. If you've got a market cap of $13 million and you get a contract for $260, that's unheard of. I've never heard of anything like that before. And that's why you've got a stock that is doubling today. I always like those stories. They usually don't. Usually they're one and done, or you know, they fade. They do the quick fade. But with $260 million, contract, that could give them some legs for a little while. Costco's Kirkland Energy drink is a disruptor. Did you know that?
Kirkland's energy. I was in Costco this past weekend. I didn't see their energy drink. I'll have to go buy.
Well,
and
it's
check
a
it out.
Value alternative. Okay, I think a case $16.99. It's got 200 milligrams of caffeine, 10 calories, added vitamins, and no sugar. The reception has been broadly positive among Costco shoppers. So go get a couple cases, bring them home. It's really rattling Celsius because they get away. You know, a lot of these energy drinks, they get away with some pretty high pricing.
Oh, they've got. You look at. You can go through like a case of Red Bull there at Costco, and you're pushing $40.
Yeah,
it's pretty significant.
Yeah, and that's why that guy's a billionaire that invented Red Bull.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now G E V.
That texted you that symbol this morning. No,
I know. I didn't know what was up. I was busy getting the show ready, and they report the day after the sister company, the mother company, reports. And look at those earnings. Wow. Holy cow. You've got the stock is up 13.1% right now. It's up $130 per share. GE Vernova, obviously a spinoff from GE through Larry Culp, headquartered in Cambridge, Massachusetts. They generate, they transfer, they orchestrate, they convert, they store gas, nuclear, hydro steam, and wind energy. So they have it all. And of course, the turbines that run everything. GE Vernova comes in with they smash their earnings estimates, and the stock is blowing up by 14%. Of course, we have a very large position in that stock, which is making our portfolios really blow up here today, especially in those in the Premier Growth. We own it in the Premier Growth. I'm going to make sure. I want to say we own it in the value because I bought it when it was pretty cheap. I think we own it in the value, the relative value portfolio too. No, we don't. I was wrong. We only own it in the Premier Growth. What was I thinking? But I'm happy. I'm happy to have it in the Premier Growth account. And the reason it's up? Well, look at the numbers. They come in. And they beat the top line, that's the sales. They beat the bottom line, that's earnings. And they raise fiscal year 26 outlook. So that's like a, that's your trifecta there. You know, you beat the sales, you beat the revenue, and you raise next year. So it's just all good.
We've got a client, you know, we've got a, you know, some clients in this industry, and got a client who works on leasing, you know, big pieces of equipment and turbines like this. And he tells us that, you know, there's no end in sight in terms of the demand for power and for these turbines.
That's the other deal.
So
it takes gobs of power. It takes gobs of fiber optics. It takes gobs of chips, memory chips. And that's why this is really continues to be the very core, the very center of the market. Well, we've got some other stocks to talk about, including a big South Carolina company that is about 20 minutes away. And then we'll go to Dallas to one of their big stocks out there. And then another AI stock that's pretty interesting right now. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go, do what you wanna do, and whoever you wanna be. You gotta go where you wanna go, do what you wanna do, and whoever you wanna.
Well, Barry, this next story may apply to an awful lot of the people listening to our show. How many of the people listening, raise your hand if you're out there and you own AT&T in your portfolio. Okay, we're going to go through the numbers on AT&T. Why? Because it's a widely held stock. Very widely held stock. Has AT&T done anything in AI, in data center, iPhones, inventing their own, they just, no innovation whatsoever. Kind of, and they just keep getting hit by competition with all, you know, they used to make all their money basically on long distance. Internet, you know, they're an internet provider, and now a lot of people are going to outer space to get their internet, and it just is not a very, imaginative, current company. And why do I say that? Because if I look at the last 10 years of T, you've earned a paltry 4.7% per year.
And it's owned. You know what its institutional ownership is, Bill? It's owned,
every 60, share.
67% of the company.
Well, I'm surprised there are 33 floating around.
Well, they probably have some employees holding on to some of that over the years.
Yeah, or it's in the, you know, the company treasury or something like that. But anyway, that's the number, 4.73% over the last 10 years. It has done better than Disney. You could say that. Well, at least you don't own Disney. It's done worse. Over the last 5 years, it's improved a little bit. You're up to 9% per year. But then they've fallen right back in their old ways. Over the last 12 months, AT&T is down 0.5%. The S&P is up 34%. You say, well, it must be gripping with value right now. Screaming. Look at the value of AT&T. Low PE, low price to book, low price to sales, low upside potential. That's a problem. The upside potential, and I'm using, the problem is there's no growth. There's no growth whatsoever. The valuation on AT&T, five-year upside potential, 39.4%. Now, if you look at your portfolio, let's say you got $1 million portfolio and you got 50 grand in AT&T, you got to go, why? Why?
Right.
Why? I'm mad. If I got AT&T, how many other duds like this do I have in my portfolio, huh? Maybe you got them all. Some people have them all. I've had some portfolios come to me that had all the duds in them. So I'm just telling you, there's the numbers on AT&T. Let's see how it's doing today.
on this knock'em sock'em. Oh, it's horrible. Look at that. Down 3.1%. And then you've got the dividend hogs who are going to say, yeah, but Bill, it pays a dividend yield right now of 4.44%. I'm getting the stock for free while I collect the dividend, and while I'm waiting for the stock to go up, I'm collecting the dividend. Okay, 4.44%. That you're giving that up basically because the stock is dropping. So, no, we don't own AT&T in our portfolios, and that's just an example of the other side of the street. Which side of the street do you want to be on? The GE Vernova side? Which, GE's probably been around longer than AT&T, haven't they? GE's been around a long, long time. Maybe they're about the same time that they've been publicly traded companies. Decades.
Yeah, of course you had the baby bells, right, all kind of got together. Isn't that kind of what ended up folding in under AT&T in some form
yep.
or fashion? You had
yep.
Bell South and all them. Remember AT&T Wireless? Remember they spun off
yep.
AT&T Wireless, and then, of course, eventually they spun it back into the company. But,
yep.
yeah, it's I mean, they they're a commodity. I mean,
but
I look
here's
at it
the difference. Look at GEV today, which was part of GE. They
right.
were a little bit forward-looking, saw the future. And look at AT&T, which had the same opportunity, and they didn't see the future. And they remain stuck in their stodgy old ways, and now, the investors, I don't even know why anybody would own the stock. But, look, you got to go where you want to go, do what you want to do, as the song says. It's taking up space in your portfolio. You're working hard every day to make a living, to save for retirement. And you've got a dud like that in there. It's not working hard. It's not working hard at all. And you say, well, it's got lots of upside potential. No, it doesn't have a lot of upside potential. Because when you've got a growth rate that meager, it's very hard for the company to grow their earnings. Let's see. Do we have time for one more? Well,
a couple of minutes, maybe?
Yeah, okay. Well, I wanted to do Vertiv. Vertiv is actually down a little bit, but Vertiv is a seller of power, cooling, and other critical infrastructure for what? What do you think that those for?
Data centers.
They reported their first quarter net sales, $2.65 billion, which matched the estimates. That's not good enough to match the estimates. Their earnings came in at $1.17 a share. They were expecting $1.01. I would say that's not a big enough beat for Wall Street. They want a massive beat. And as a consequence, we do not own the stock. But it has been a good one. It really has been a good one. Let's take a look and see how Vertiv, last time I looked, it was not
yeah,
reacting.
It's one you've owned off and on.
Owned it. Vertiv today is down a little bit. Looks like they're buying into the sell. Well, it's down 2.7%. But there's another one that's got 30-40% growth versus AT&T 2-3% growth. Okay, we're out of time. You can see the contrast in the market. You can see the gems and you can see the duds. You can see the sunny side of the street. You can see the cloudy side of the street. And it's up to you which side you want to be on. I'd make no guarantees, but I'm going to try to push your portfolio onto the sunny side of the street. I've had some accounts, a lot of accounts transfer in recently. I do a lot of cleaning up, Barry. I do a lot of cleaning up.
You're the gardener.
Sometimes the gardener. It's a chainsaw. Sometimes it's just a little pruning, something you'd use in your garden. But most of the time, it's some pretty heavy pruning that I do. Because I look at a stock, I immediately know the stock. I know where it's been, where it's going, where it's headed, where it's not headed. That's just me. All right, to set up an appointment with us in Minnesota, or over the phone, 855-611-BEST, to get 4 weeks of the newsletter, the app, the live trades, GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.